So we close our Sabbath together, the Lord's holy day of rest and worship, hearing Him speak to us again from His holy word. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And we begin the next section of the means of grace, always with the understanding of enjoying them and being effectually saved and preserved by them in the corporate context of worship. So we finished last week the section on the Word of God as the first and most important means of grace. The second part we talk about now is the sacraments, and then later we'll end with prayer. So we'll introduce the sacraments tonight. Next few weeks we'll think about different aspects of what sacraments are and disclaimers to understand. And then we'll begin to break down baptism and aspects of that, and then the Lord's Supper. And that's where we'll be for a while now, the means of grace, the sacraments. And we'll begin with Larger Catechism 161. But first, let's read our main scripture tonight, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. As it is just one verse, let's look at it one more time. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. May God make indeed this word preached effectual to your and my salvation. I want to talk about what a sacrament is, but we're going to have to wait till next week. It's interesting. It's not until the next question and answer that we'll actually talk about what a sacrament is. It almost seems out of order that it's first saying what makes a sacrament effectual in the first place. But I think it might be because they're so thinking about their time, which is really not so different from our time, of the influence of the thinking of the Roman Catholic Church, that the sacraments are effectual in ways that they're not effectual. And then they use that to really control and bully the saints. So maybe that's why it comes first. It's difficult to talk about how they're effectual without talking about what they are. I may just touch on that, but I just want to explain that up front. We'll talk more about what sacraments are next week. But tonight we consider what makes them effectual and what does not make them effectual. And I suppose that there's wisdom in that from the divines that we'll better appreciate as we go through it. But let me explain this. The word sacrament, where does it come from? What does it mean? At least I'd like to give you that tonight. The word sacrament comes from a Latin word. And that Latin word for sacrament is representing a Greek word from the Greek Bible. And that Greek word is mysterion. So the word sacrament has meaning. It is biblical. It's just that it's a Latin word representing the Greek word. And the Greek word is mysterion. And mysterion means a sacred spiritual bond. So that's what a sacrament is. It's a sacred spiritual bond, mysterion. It truly communicates a spiritual mystery to you. It's by the Spirit, as we'll see tonight, but it truly does communicate that mystery, as really only the Word and the Holy Spirit can. It's something that the world doesn't have a clue about. Think about that word mysterion again, though. Do you hear mystery in it? Mystery, mysterion. It's a mysterious thing we're going to learn about tonight. But the Spirit, to the spirits of true Christians, will make it understandable to you and will effectually communicate to you about it, so that as we partake in the sacraments, He effectually communicates to you through them. And that's what we're really setting ourselves up for tonight with question and answer 161 of the Larger Catechism. Let's turn there together. Larger Catechism 161. How do the sacraments become effectual means of salvation? The sacraments become effectual means of salvation not by any power in themselves or any virtue derived from the piety or intention of him by whom they are administered, but only by the working of the Holy Ghost and the blessing of Christ by whom they are instituted. So we'll break that down and consider those parts to understand how are the sacraments made effectual. So we're going to consider how they are not made effectual, which will help us clear some things up and then understand, okay, how are they made effectual? And we'll consider two aspects of both. We go back to think of our scripture tonight. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, what the Spirit expresses to you in the sacraments is that all Christians, even total opposites, are now one. We'll go back to that scripture in a moment and see it, but the emphasis is on one. But to really emphasize the oneness, he shows how polar opposite people are brought together in the Spirit of Christ as expressed by the sacraments and as further brought together as one body, as expressed effectually through those sacraments. Williamson says this about the sacraments. It is like the seal of a message with the king's ring. You know, the king has ring and we'll put it in some kind of wax on the paper, and that shows wherever it goes, this is bona fide, this is true, you can count on it to be truth. And it's like that, he says. The sacraments are, quote, a confirming testimony to the believer concerning what he has received. So you can almost see it like that. Jesus Christ, when he has baptism, and then especially as he has the Lord's Supper, you can see his signet ring, if you will, always putting his stamp of approval and his stamp of acceptance on you, and his showing his covenant will never fail. You can always count on it. He's claiming his ownership on you, but also encouraging you and confirming that you can't lose it. The sacraments are not magical, but they are mystery. They are not magical, but they are effectual for true believers. They express and they exhibit our fellowship with Jesus Christ. And as Paul emphasizes tonight, through that fellowship, they express and exhibit our fellowship with one another as we gather together in the Spirit through this special mystery and yet a reality for us. God expresses in the sacraments for you to experience in the sacraments your union with Him and thus your union with one another. And the reality of it. Though a spiritual reality, you need eyes of faith to see for now the reality of it. And as he convinces you and encourages you of the reality of it through the sacraments, thus they are effectual to you. They feed your faith. That's the idea, to feed your faith until you won't need them anymore in heaven. The message for you tonight is this. The Spirit unites us in Christ's sacraments. That's what the scripture we're applying tonight is telling us. The Spirit really unites us in Christ's sacraments, which is why the church ought to give it great attention, do it regularly, and not substitute other things for it. The sacraments are really downplayed today in a lot of churches. They should be primary, because the Spirit unites us in Christ's sacraments in a way He doesn't unite us other ways. The sacraments, first of all, simply communicate to you through your senses. They simply communicate to you through your senses. They tell you something through your senses. And by your receiving out of it in faith and understanding and owning it, it's effectual to you. So the Catechism says, the sacraments are not effectual by any power in themselves. And we're going to get into this more. I want to go there, but just to say that it's not Christ's body. It's not His blood. The water is just water. They communicate things, and as you receive them in faith, they're effectual, but there's really nothing in them themselves. You're not eating or drinking or having something put on you that by its own power does something to you. They are just signs signifying something else. And so we reject, and they are intending to reject here, the Roman Catholic Church's understanding or idea with the sacraments of what is called ex opera operato. Ex opera operato. And what that means is operation performed. What the Roman Catholic Church teaches is that the sacraments themselves just have their own power to be effectual. It really doesn't matter whether you have faith. It doesn't matter if your folks have faith. It doesn't matter. Nothing. It's almost like they have some kind of power, like kryptonite. I don't know, where you get touched by it and it does something to you. That's ex opera operato. Just the act itself of the sacraments, they would say, do something to you. But that's being rejected. The sacraments don't have any power in themselves. They're just signs. The action of the sacrament is not independent of faith's reception. There needs to be the work of the Spirit, and there needs to be reception of it by faith in people. Otherwise, it will accomplish absolutely nothing. We could all have baptism. We could all partake of the Lord's Supper. But if the Spirit isn't working in it with your faith, nothing at all happens. They have no power in themselves. 1 Peter 3, verse 21 tells us that baptism is a figure. Again, that means a sign, a symbol, a picture, but not the real thing. A sign is what baptism and the Lord's Supper all are. They are signs corresponding to the reality, but they are not themselves actuality. They're pointing to the reality, but they're not actually it themselves. They illustrate the meaning of the reality, but they are not the reality. Yet they make the meaning of the reality meaningful for you. They communicate it in a picture that you can get it and take it in, but they themselves are just pictures, not the real thing. Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 27, section 1. I won't read it, but I want to remind you it begins to teach that the sacraments are a sign and a seal of the covenant of grace. A sign and a seal of the covenant of grace. And I recall many times having conversations, sometimes with Reformed folks who I think are confused, and they kind of like the sign, but they don't like the word seal. But that's what the Scripture says. Romans 4, verse 11, Abraham received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness of faith. Sacraments are signs and seals of the covenant of grace received by faith. Calvin says that the sacraments are sermon pictures. You know, the word is preached, and then the sacraments are explained by the word, but then you see the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, for there are only two, baptism and the Lord's Supper, and we'll review that later. When you see them, they're like picture sermons. They speak to you. They visibly describe the reality of the preached word in propositions and stories. Richard Phillips says it another way. He says, you know, we don't need these modern drama things in worship. First of all, the regulative principle of worship rules it out. There's no place for drama in worship, except, he says, the church does have its drama in worship. And what is our drama in worship? The sacraments. Baptism and the Lord's Supper, and especially the Lord's Supper. It's a theological theater, if you will, portraying before you what has been done for you. This is my body. This is my blood. You know, it's just representing it to really hit you with it. Because sometimes when we just read about it, we get too used to it. Such as in the Lord's Supper, we emphasize in how we explain what is happening. It is a sacramental act. The emphasis is not on the elements, but on the act. The actual having a supper together. The actual baptizing someone. It's the act that is most significant. It's the acting out of the sacrament that is most communicative and thus most effectual when the person understands what it means and is reminded of what it's communicating to you. Thomas Watson puts it this way. The sacraments are visible signs of invisible graces. Visible signs of invisible graces. Green says it like this. The word is the gospel addressed to the ear. The sacraments are the gospel addressed to the eye. I would say really all the senses, especially the Lord's Supper, but word to the ear, sacraments to the eye, communicating to you in both senses. So first of all, don't forget to listen. And as we looked at last week, be good listeners to the preached word. But also don't forget to look. Be good observers of the sacraments to receive the meaning of the symbols that they stand for. The sacraments do communicate. They really do communicate, and that's how they are effectual. And they really do communicate regardless of the human communicator. That's really important too. It's not just that the sacraments themselves have any, they don't have any power in them, but also the people officiating, they have to be lawfully ordained to do it nonetheless. They can't cause any problem with the sacraments. There's the power of the sacraments being effectual to you does not depend on me. Okay? It's the Holy Spirit in Christ applying it to you through faith. If it's done according to the Scriptures and the Spirit is in it and you, your Spirit is in it, it's effectual, even if I turn out to be heretical. That's an encouragement for you because you don't have to wonder your whole life. You have a pastor for however many years. If the baptism of your children, children's children, the Lord's Supper you all received, you don't have to wonder if it's all null and void now. It isn't. Because it does not depend on the person administering the sacrament. The sacraments do not depend on people to communicate effectually. So the Catechism teaches us the sacraments are not effectual by any virtue derived from the piety or intention of him by whom they are administered. Now this goes back to ex opera operato. The Roman Catholic Church has some other thoughts about this that they teach with the sacraments. When it says it doesn't have anything to do with the piety of the person, that means, you know, they could be corrupt and they cannot corrupt the effectualness of the sacrament for you. And that's an encouragement. But the intention of the person also is particularly in view here. Ex opera operato, Roman Catholic Church, they believe that the priest's intention has to be right on behalf of you. And if the priest doesn't really mean it for you when he administers to you, then it has no effect. That's crazy power for a priest to have, isn't it? That's crazy power for a priest to have. Maybe they like that power, right? You know, hey, if I don't like you, you don't, whatever he might want to try to work on you, I don't have to mean it when I do it for you. And if I don't mean it, it has no effect on you. Now, this is not true. This is not scriptural, but this is the Roman Catholic Church's teaching. But what we are taught here is that the priest's lack of intention or the priest's lack of piety does not invalidate your faith's reception of the sacraments. And that's an encouragement for you. It can't be undone if Christ has done it through his work of the sacrament. The Confession of Faith, chapter 28, verse 7, thus teaches us there that the sacrament of baptism is but once to be administered unto any person. You don't keep rebaptizing people. Why don't you keep rebaptizing people? Because it has nothing to do with the person or, frankly, even the denomination. It has to do whether it is Trinitarian and correct according to the word by a lawfully ordained person. And then you can count on it. You don't keep doing it. Now, this was a church issue in the early church. The Donatists, I believe it was Augustine that righted the ship on this. But there were a lot of corrupt priests. And so the Donatists wanted to say after persecution, people settled, those who denied the faith or those who turned out to be bad or corrupt priests and didn't stick through it. We cannot count anything they did to be valid now. But that means all these people have to be rebaptized. The Lord's Supper never meant anything to them. Are they even saved? And that's bad. The Donatists were wrong and church history voted against them. You don't have to redo everything just because the people proved to be corrupt. Think of it this way. If your grocery clerk is a jerk, it doesn't make your food not work. Right? You get your food from the grocery clerk and he's a real jerk and drops your bag. Does that affect the food's validity? Does it change anything about the food being able to feed you? It's the same thing with the priests, the pastors. God made the food. It feeds your body regardless of the guy that distributed it to you. Same thing with the ministers. And this should keep us humble. We have to have, as you'll see with the sacraments, just as the word being preached, we have to be lawfully ordained to do the work. Nonetheless, the effectiveness of the work has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the fact that it is real. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So ministers are just dispensers of the real spiritual grace. And the real glorious thing here to just review is that your pastors cannot mess up what God has ordained to minister to you. If it's brought to you and you can eat it, it does not matter anything about me. I can't make it not effectual to you. And that's something to encourage you to keep coming back to church through the years as you might be served by different people. And nothing can mess it up. God ordained it. God makes it real. God makes it happen. The sacraments are effective simply because Jesus Christ designed them to be so. And if Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Glory, designed the sacraments to work, they will work. Nobody's going to get in the way of that. Jesus Christ made them to work. They will work. The Catechism teaches they don't work by their own power, the sacraments. They don't work or can't be affected and make that they don't work by the person administering them. But here's how they do work. First of all, they work only by the power of the blessing of Christ by whom they are instituted. And not just that they work by the power of Christ because He instituted them, but because He is here, just as He is in the preaching. He is here in our midst, making them work. Approving them is, yes, that's what I said to do. Good. I will make it work. He breathes upon it, if you will. Matthew 28, verse 19. Here's the first sacrament, which is the New Testament version of the old one. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So here we see Trinitarian baptism, sadly just denied by so many. But here's Trinitarian baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But baptizing says teach people and baptize them. And that's the first sacrament. It is initiation into the church. Okay. It is bringing you into formally being part of the church. It is the New Testament version of circumcision. Circumcision was putting the sign of you of now being in the church, part of God's people. This is why often they would say that uncircumcised giants, they're not God's people. But the baptism now and baptism and circumcision are used interchangeably in the New Testament. We'll talk more about that later. But baptism is the Old Testament's version of circumcision. It is a sign of initiation into membership in Christ's church primarily. And why do we do it? Because we see there in Matthew 28:19, Jesus said to. Jesus said to do it, so we do it. And we have to trust it is effectual for the elect because He said so. And not only baptism, but the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 25. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner, also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. So why do we do the Lord's Supper? Paul says, because I received it from Jesus and He told me to bring it to you. We do it because Jesus told us to do it. As the second sacrament, the Lord's Supper is the New Testament version of Old Testament Passover meal. And why do we have kind of the same sacrament, but why does it change? What's different about it in the New Testament? Christ has come, so they're no longer bloody sacraments. You see, circumcision and the Passover meal were both bloody sacraments. But there's no real shedding of blood now because Jesus Christ's blood has been shed once and for all. And so the sacraments still communicate the benefit of the shed blood, but we no longer shed blood because Christ's blood has been shed once for all. But we still have these signs that adjust to represent what has been had. But they are still things that God wants us to do to express what He's done for us and who we are in Him. Hodge says that the sacraments are exclusive badges of membership for the visible church. There is a thing as membership in the visible church. And there is a sense of, carrying your membership card or your membership badge that not all carry. It is the fact that you have been baptized and that you partake of the Lord's Supper. It's an exclusive symbol only for the church of God, recognizing that they are separate from the world. It expresses your visible union, your visible communion with Jesus Christ and one another. Your covenanted membership commitment is signed and sealed in the sacraments. And you're a card-carrying member of Christ's church, in a sense, as you partake of the sacraments. You see, Jesus wants to claim His own in the world, and He wants to show that you are His. He's taken you out of the world. It's a witness to the world, the sacraments. That's why they're to be protected. The larger catechism next week, we'll see 162. I give you a little bit of it tonight. A sacrament is an holy ordinance instituted by Christ in His church to signify, seal, and exhibit unto those that are within the covenant of grace the benefits of His mediation. They are to show you how great you have it to be within the covenant of grace. But they do something else. It goes on to say the sacraments distinguish you from those that are without. They distinguish you from those that are without. It's to be a witness to people that they would want to get in. The sacraments are your way of proclaiming that you are in the kingdom of heaven, that you are not of this world, and that your King shall return for you. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. The sacraments are visible signs for the visible church and for the invisible church within the visible church. Paul says in Romans 9, not all Israel are Israel, but true Israel is found within Israel, the visible church. And for the invisible church, truly by the Holy Spirit, expressing it to your spirits, it is effectual. The Holy Spirit really applies what Christ prescribes, and He joins you together in it with Him. The Catechism tells us it's because Jesus ordained it, that's why it's effectual. He blesses it because He ordained it in His presence. That's why it's effectual. And in particular, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Only by the working of the Holy Ghost is it effectual, the Catechism reads. Only by the working of the Holy Ghost. We look back to larger Catechism 154 and are reminded that the means of grace, the Word of God, the sacraments we're discussing now in prayer, in communicant worship, in covenant worship of His people, they are outward means. They're outward visible things that are tangible to help us with our spiritual inward things. They're outward means whereby Christ communicates the benefit of mediation. That is, He conveys it to you. How is it effectual? He makes it really meaningful, truly meaningful to your souls. Something happens. And I see that especially in some of you. Something happens to you in the sacraments. God does something. Some of you weep. Some of you always weep with tears of joy. The Holy Spirit really makes it work in your heart to make you thankful, to make you sorry for your sins, to make you want to do better in serving Him. It really does something to you. And that's how it's effectual. The Holy Spirit really communicates through the visible sign into your invisible heart. And He conveys this to you. He expresses truly to you what you truly receive by faith in the outward means. He communicates to you the message of oneness in Christ in particular. No more sinful division of humanity. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, our text again tonight. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Oneness is what the sacraments communicate. Unity with God and with one another, which is the exact opposite of our experience outside of Christ, which will be the exact opposite of the experience for all in hell. They'll suffer alone. They'll hear the torment of one another, but they'll suffer alone. Whereas in heaven, we rejoice and eat together the great supper of the Lamb. Oneness is the whole chapter. Paul says in the whole chapter, we need each other. We just can't even deny we are one if we're truly one. And then we can't say we don't need each other. And the things that are understood to be maybe less important to the world are actually the most important parts of the body. We see the word one keep coming up just in verse 13 alone. We have one baptism, sacrament of baptism. Why? Because we have one Spirit. And so therefore we have one drink of the Spirit, the Lord's Supper, so to speak. The sacraments communicate life and body life, which is unified. And if you really stop and think about what a wonderful thing that is in a lonely world, it's effectual. It moves you. Makes you thankful for what you got. But then he gives us an illustration of how much this amazing unity is that the Spirit brings us together, which he communicates to us through the sacraments. He expresses it this way, whether you're a Jew or you're a Greek. So here's how you should be understanding that. It's not, you know, my hands are close together. Whether you're a Jew or a Greek, both, you know, pretty close in society. No, what's the understanding? Whether you're a Jew way over here or Greek way over here, polar opposites, don't want to touch each other, but in the Spirit you are one and the same. Whether you are slave or free, that's exact opposite. Polar opposites on the spectrum of human experience. And he says, it doesn't matter. In Jesus Christ, in the baptism of the Spirit, and the drink of the Spirit, you are one and the same. It ought to make you marvel. And that's what's being communicated in the sacraments. Not just Christ's salvation and what he's done for you singularly, but plurally. These are always corporate acts. These are always done together as a people of God. As we read in Ephesians, he lifts us up together. He sits us down in heaven together. There's never a me. There's always an us in Christianity. That is, we're never alone. One body. Brought together with people you could never imagine that you would be brought together with. And isn't that an unbelievably powerful gospel witness? That people who used to hate each other's guts can now eat together at the same table of Christ. I mean, what more powerful witness? That's why Jesus prays that we will be have the unity that he has with the Father in heaven, to be a witness to the world. In John 17, he's very concerned that we would express our oneness, because there's nothing like it. Oh, there's different small groups all through society, but there's nothing like the oneness of the church when we don't have a lot in common sometimes. When we're polar opposites in terms of how we express ourselves. Yet in Christ we are one body. And that's what the Holy Spirit communicates to you in the sacraments. And it ought to make you marvel as you look around each other and you say, praise the Lord, we're still here together. Thank the Lord I didn't pop him or her like I thought about it. You know, and as you come together in the sacraments, you always are forced to say, I'm glad I worked it out. Because we are one. In fact, the sacraments, why the Lord's Supper especially should be regular, is it forces you to work it out. Because you got to sit down and talk and eat together. I remember hearing this week one of the Supreme Court justices speak of his experience serving on the Supreme Court justice and the experience of having strong disagreements within the court, dealing with issues, working out issues. And he said it was good to follow the advice of either another Supreme Court justice or perhaps one who was retired, someone who knew. The advice was, go to the dinners that you're invited to. Go to the dinners that you're invited to eat together as Supreme Court justices when you don't like each other and you just fought. And he said that was really, really good advice. He says it's hard to be mad at someone when you're looking across the table at him eating. Maybe why some avoid it. But to their own peril, to their own separateness, to their own loss and loneliness, whether they recognize it or not. When the Lord calls us together to see and think back and improve on our baptism when we see others baptized, or we understand we have been yoked into the body of Christ, I am made one in Christ's body, that's something. If we just in faith meditate on that by the Spirit's application, it ought to touch our hearts. And the same thing with the Lord's Supper. When we are brought together with Jesus in our presence, blessing it and serving us the supper, and we eat and drink together effectually around the table. By the way, the old Scots, you would come up and sit around the table together and eat. Maybe we should. It might be more effective, perhaps, as we face one another across the table. Humble ourselves that he would lift us up together. When you participate in sacraments, the Spirit tells you not only that you are saved, but you are not at enmity with Him, nor His body, thus none of His body members. The Spirit communicates sacramental solidarity. And it's the only place to receive it. Everyone hears the same message from the same speaker. And though the same covenantal word pictures that those of the same Spirit embrace are the same, yet they're different members and brought together as the same. They eat from the same plate. They drink from the same cup. They eat at the same table. One baptism, one Spirit, one drink. Here's why it's so effectual. Here's why it's so beautiful. Think about the solidarity of spouses expressed by the rings on their fingers. It's a ring. It's just a piece of metal. There's nothing in it. It's just a sign. But it expresses solidarity by virtue of covenant. And it's beautiful. But it's even more beautiful when you're next to your spouse and you enjoy seeing his or her ring on their finger in your presence. Sometimes I just like to look at the ring on my wife's finger when she's next to me. And it's meaningful. I don't even have to say anything. She doesn't have to say anything. It says it all that she's wearing my ring on her finger. That's what the sacraments are. They are taken together to represent our invisible bond in the Spirit of Christ as we express it wearing the sacraments together, if you will. We don't even have to say anything. We just express it together. I am yours. You are mine. We are one in Christ. And that is effectual when you believe it and you mean it, because the Spirit will then apply it for real in your hearts and make you love one another. Nobody can do that but the Holy Spirit. And He uses the sacraments in part to do that. The Holy Spirit, just as He speaks through Christ's Word, speaks through Christ's covenant signs. Thus He speaks effectually through them. He reminds you that there is truly no more division in Him. You see, that's the power in it. He can remind you, He can convince you of it through it, and He can send you away different. He can prepare you for it and bring you together different, but one. This is very meaningful. This is very effectual for your salvation and your perseverance in it amidst a world that lives and breathes by the spirit of division. The Spirit unites us in Christ's sacraments. Let us praise Him for it. O Lord Christ, we thank You for the unity that is ours as Your one body. And we thank You, You don't only speak to us about it, but You show it to us in baptism in the Lord's Supper. May we receive it and participate in these sacraments by faith, that You, by the Spirit, would make Your ordinances meaningful and thus effectual to our hearts, that the world would know we are Christians by our love and by our oneness in the Spirit, reflecting the oneness of the Trinity in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.